we're celebrating David Bowie's 67th birthday here, in case you're wondering about the music. It is The Record on KUOW. Good afternoon. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm Ross Reynolds. Yesterday afternoon, another freight train carrying crude oil ran off the tracks, went up in flames in New Brunswick, Canada. Dozens of nearby residents were evacuated from their homes. There were no reports of deaths. This follows a crude oil freight train derailment last July that killed 47 people in Quebec. Joining us with that and all the news from Canada is Vaughn Palmer, columnist for the Vancouver Sun. Thanks for joining us, Vaughn.
Hello, Ross, and I have to say that 27 years ago this month, when I started doing Canadian news on KUOW, I was talking to you.
That's right.
So here we are. Here we are again, going for the youth audience.
How little things change, isn't that kind of amazing? Any more details on that freight derailment? It's kind of scary to see another one happening.
Yeah, there's been a lot of it. I mean, you know, the one in North Dakota. You had Alabama. This one is near the American border. It's also near the province of Quebec, where that awful one, Lake Meganti, occurred. It's not as serious as that. But the town is, New Brunswick has been evacuated, the small village there of Plaster Rock. They say it's an emergency brake problem on the train, which activated and led to the derailment, explosion, and fire. The train was carrying crude oil and liquefied petroleum gasoline, but not the Lake Megantic one was the oil from the Bakken Shale in North Dakota being carried through Canada. So it's not as big an event as that, but I think it just highlights a growing concern about oil being transported by rail. There has been a huge increase in the amount of oil hauled by rail in Canada and in the United States, and growing concern that, you know, maybe there are worse things in pipelines.
And this latest oil train accident took place just after Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper addressed the challenge of getting Canadian oil to global markets. This is not a challenge made any easier when these freight trains derail and explode.
Yeah, I mean, I think for people saying, why is so much of this happening now? Well, I mean, in Canada, for example, here in Western Canada, where the amount of oil being transported by rail has grown by a third just in the past year. Same is true in the United States, the Bakken Shale and the Dakotas. There aren't enough pipelines there. Nobody built pipelines in the Dakotas because nobody thought there was any oil there. So that's what's going on. Canada is trying to build one pipeline through British Columbia to the ocean to be able to transport Alberta oil to Asian markets. There's now a proposal for a second pipeline or doubling the capacity of an existing pipeline that comes through Vancouver. Prime Minister wants at least one of those pipelines to go ahead. It's not an easy sell. I don't know if the railway thing is making it easier for people to accept pipelines, but I think it does make the point that the consequence of blocking pipelines is that the oil does tend to move to railways.
Prime Minister Harper was also touting resource development projects to help out Native Americans, or as they're referred to in Canada, First Nations.
Yes.
Are these oil freight train accidents causing any uneasiness among First Nations when it comes to developing resources like oil?
I think they're a lot more concerned about pipelines and tankers. The main pipeline route that's proposed through northern British Columbia runs through the traditional territory of a large number of First Nations, and the coast, the tankers on the coast would affect the waters, traditional waters of a number of other First Nations. There are a number of First Nations opposed to this project. They've threatened to go to court to exercise their constitutional rights to block this project. And one of the main obstacles to the project ever being built is the opposition of Native groups. The pipeline issue is still relatively new. There is an existing rail line through northern British Columbia, but it is not being used to haul a lot of petroleum product yet. So it's a little early to say what the impact would be there. But, I mean, I think everywhere people are waking up to what happened while we were focusing on pipelines is that the producers started lining up more and more rail cars more to haul oil because there wasn't enough pipeline capacity.
Prime Minister Stephen Harper's speech a couple days ago in Vancouver was interrupted by some protesters, and they had a surprisingly easy time getting very close to the prime minister. What happened?
This is a pretty serious incident. I mean, it's funny because nothing bad happened, and what they did was a couple of environmental protesters went to a discount clothing store, bought a couple of black shirts, put them on, no badges, no security check, walked in pretending to be waiters and managed to get themselves up behind the prime minister during the question and answer session with the Vancouver Board of Trade and hauled out some protest signs. They were arrested, of course, released afterward. They didn't do any damage. But the issue there is, I guess, you know, the same issue as happened with the president's speech in South Africa, with the time those people crashed the president's party in Washington, D.C., which is, with all the security we have around our leaders these days, you'd think it would be an awful lot harder to get that close to them. Protesters is one thing, but, you know, imagine if someone did have a nefarious purpose.
I'm talking with Vaughn Palmer, columnist for the Vancouver Sun. He was reminding me that we first spoke 27 years ago. Let's not look backwards, Vaughn. Let's look to 2014. One of the things you wanted to talk about were some of the challenges facing the Canadian government in 2014 following last year's scandals. Remind us again, what were some of those scandals?
Well, our government really spent, Prime Minister's office spent much of the year running around with a fire extinguisher, dealing with particularly a scandal involving the Canadian Senate. It's an appointed body. It tends to be full of party supporters. A couple of prominent party supporters there were engaged in major scandal involving their expense accounts. The government tried to, or members of the government tried to cover it up initially. The Prime Minister's chief of staff had to resign because he tried to basically pay the expense bill with a personal check. He didn't tell the Prime Minister. So it was a shabby affair, partly because for the first time since Stephen Harper became Prime Minister, people began to wonder if they were seeing the end of his term. He was first elected in 2006, so he'll be 8 years Prime Minister next month. But for the first time, you've got people saying he's in serious political trouble. His credibility has been affected. His government looks bad. He's got new challengers from the opposition parties. He doesn't have to go to the electorate this year. He's still got another year to go. But for the first time, people are going, you know, this guy has been seriously damaged by a scandal. It's showing in the opinion polls. So he's got to spend 2014 rebuilding.
How seriously should we take this, Vaughn? You know, this is one story pundits love to jump on. This is the end. This is the downfall we're witnessing. How much of that is hyperbole and how much of that do you think is actual?
Well, I mean, I think the fact that he has a rebuilding job to do is real. But you make a very good point, Ross, and I think a lot of political reporting these days deals with the effect of things that, you know, a scandal may last for a few weeks, it may last for a few months, but a government then goes to the electorate, and the electorate, especially the part of the electorate that just focuses in on the actual campaign, goes, oh, well, we'll give them another term. We had it happen in British Columbia last year, a government that had a lot of controversy and scandals. Nevertheless, won re-election, the BC Liberals led by Premier Christy Clark. So your question is a good one. I wouldn't write off Stephen Harper yet. He, as I said, faces a tougher year of rebuilding that he's faced for a while, but I wouldn't underestimate his ability to do that. The next election is still a long way away.
Vaughn Palmer, columnist for the Vancouver Sun. As always, it's been a pleasure.
Great, Ross. Talk to you again.
This is The Record on KUOW.